Children, you are dismissed. Bill, thank you.
All right, thanks. Hi, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to be back with you again. It's been a little while since I've had a chance to hang out with you on a Sunday morning, I think, and it's just always good to be home with you. You make me feel like I'm a part of you every time. And I'm grateful. I'm also grateful to actually be alive this time around. Some of you may have heard that several of us went backpacking for a birthday trip for me. And we had to come home early because apparently I was hallucinating and had a fever and it was bad. And so I'm in the midst of some antibiotics and cough drops and that kind of stuff so that I can be upright. So it's good to be here. What an exciting time to be alive in the United States of America. It's exciting, right? It's nothing is laying flat, nothing is status quo. Everything is turned up and sort of not on fire, but energized, right? There's nothing is the way that it could be or should be or has been. Everything is in question, and what an exciting time that is. Amen? Now, do you believe that? Because you just said amen. It is exciting. It's crazy exciting. Some of it's irritating, right? But it's like this every time. Every election cycle, we get tired of it by the time it's a week old. We're done hearing the ads, the political ads, etc. This time, the rhetoric and the volume on the conversation is turned up so loud, right? Everywhere that I go, everywhere I've been for the last several months, even spent some time with our Canadian brothers and sisters a few weeks ago, and all they wanted to talk about was the election cycle and politics in the United States, and had we lost our minds. That was... Canadians are very polite, so you know when they come to ask you that question, they're really interested in what's happening. Have you lost your mind? So, you know, in a couple of days, millions and millions of Americans are going to vote. Have any of you voted already? Many of you have voted already. I will return home just in time. I'll get home in the evening on Monday and be able to vote on Tuesday, so I'm grateful for that. It's a powerful thing to have a vote, to have a voice. Democracy is an amazing system, whether we're full-on democracy or we engage all the principles of democratic kind of governing, who knows, right? That's for the philosophers to talk about and whether or not it's pure or not. But it's an amazing thing for the people of any country to have a voice in what goes on in the country and how it's ruled and how it's governed and the laws that are put in place to keep people safe, right? Scripture talks about the duty of the government in Romans chapter 13, right? To protect its citizens, to sort of help make sure that that the country is a country, right? That's what the government's for, that it runs smoothly, that people have protections and sort of a unified kind of idea and identity. And it's a powerful thing to have a vote. And so as citizens of this country, of course, we've been paying close attention, right? We've been listening to the political ads. We've been reading all of the articles on Facebook, right? Because they're all true. The best news is on Facebook. And we've been, you know, consulting our friends. And did you hear about this? And did you hear? Because we're very interested because this is a great privilege to have a voice. And it's our responsibility to have an informed voice, to be educated, to understand the issues, to know who it is that we're voting for and why. And I think that as citizens, again, of this country, we have this responsibility to have good, strong, intelligent, educated, respectful dialogue.
Where
and when? But it is our responsibility. This great privilege of having a voice requires us to listen to one another's voice. As citizens of this country, we have this privilege and this responsibility. And it's been hard this time around, right? The volume turned up, everything kind of thrown up in the air, and who knows what articles to read, if Facebook is true or not. But on Tuesday, millions of us will vote. And we will vote about protecting the rights and the privileges of the citizens of this country. All of them. Whether they are like us or not, whether they think like us, whether they look like us, whether they talk like us, whether they believe like us. As citizens of this country, we will vote to protect those rights and privileges. It's a big responsibility. But you know that. As citizens of the kingdom of heaven, we also have responsibilities. And we also have privilege. And I want to talk to you today a little bit about being citizens of the kingdom of heaven in this supercharged, high-volume political environment where we are also citizens of the United States. Because while Scripture talks about our allegiance, as Miles noted earlier, that is not an allegiance that's independent of the land that we live in. So we're going to hit a couple of passages of Scripture today to kind of unpack some of this, and hopefully we will end in a place where you will be able to hear from Jesus some kind of so what for your life. Amen? You ready to take a little walk with me? I would probably recommend not flipping around in your Bibles if you want to, if you're really good, if you can draw your sword really fast. Join me where I go, but we're gonna hit a couple in succession here, and maybe it's good to just listen. So we are citizens of this country, but we have a true and lasting citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. Peter talks about it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honor the emperor." This 1 Peter chapter 2, 11 through 17 in the NIV version of Scripture. I want to point out a couple of things just to make sure. You're probably not going to hear anything new today. So I have this privilege of wandering around the country lately and just reminding people of who they are, reminding people of the promises and the truths of Scripture. And it's really kind of fun just to come back to the bedrock, to the foundation of our identity. So I want you to hear this. Peter opens up. He says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles." And then he goes on. And I just want to point out this word that is translated as foreigners here in 2 Peter. It's this beautiful word. It's fun to say. You can say it with me if you want. Paroikos. You say paroikos? Paroikos. It's fun. You can say it when you hit your thumb with a hammer, whatever, it's good. It has this understanding of a sojourner, of a pilgrim, of someone who is temporarily making their home in a land that is not their home. So let me say it one more time. It's a person who is temporarily making their home in a land that is not their home, a sojourner. Our understanding of our lives as believers, as followers of Jesus, is that we are all paroikoi. We are sojourners. We are ones who are temporarily making our home in lands, plural, that aren't our land, that aren't our home. But we are citizens of some other land. And that's who we are. So as citizens of the U.S., we are merely sojourners here. Though we may be born here, though generations of our people may have been born and raised up and married and given to marriage and had children and so on and so forth, as followers of Christ, we understand that we are sojourners here. Always sojourners. Always ones temporarily making our home in a land that is not our home. It's interesting to think about ourselves in such a way. It's not really something that we dig up very often, but it's something we've heard before. This place is not our home. I've seen bumper stickers, I've seen t-shirts, you know, Christian art, songs, etc., that talk about that. One glad morning, when this life is o'er, I'll fly away, right? I'm going to go home. And while the theology of that I may not completely connect with all the way to the end, and you'll see why in a few minutes, it rings true. We have this longing for something more. We've been told as followers of Christ that there's something else, that there's something more. And because there is something more, because there is something else that we have a hope for, it should affect our pilgrimage here. If in the core of our being, we understand that this kingdom that we can see with our eyes is not the kingdom where our eternal citizenship lies, it should affect how we hear and see and touch and taste the world around us, especially in an environment like we are in. When the volume is so high on what is happening in this kingdom. A friend of mine talks about the season that we're in being like in a tug of war. And in all honesty, we're probably in a season of tug of war all the time. It's just that in these political moments, the volume is turned up and the fog is wiped away off the windshield, and we can see for a moment that there is a kingdom pulling this way and a kingdom pulling this way. And we are in the middle, pilgrims, sojourners. I love what Peter says to us. While we are making our home in this kingdom temporarily, we're to live such good lives among the pagans, the non-Christ followers, that anything they accuse us of will be looked at as rubbish, as foolish talk. It goes on to say that we are to live as God's slaves, paroikos, sojourners, living as God's slaves in this kingdom. So while we have this eternal kingdom that we know is our home, where our citizenship, our true and real citizenship lies as believers in Christ, we're not to disengage from this kingdom. We are to be fully engaged in this kingdom. We are to, what does he say here? Submit ourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. Ooh, interesting. Interesting. We're to submit to the emperor as the supreme authority, or even to the people that are sent. So this is just a form of government he's talking about in the context of his day, right? The emperor and the governors. So it's just the government, right? The people who rule this kingdom that we find ourselves in. We're to submit to them in every way for the sake of the Lord, it says. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honor the government. Powerful. Powerful for a pilgrim like you and like me to burst into this awareness that, oh my goodness, this is not my home, but I'm making it my home. This is the place where my temporary citizenship is held, but my full birthright is in the kingdom of heaven. And while I am here, I am in the midst of this tug of war, where the volume is turned up over here in this kingdom so loud about the values and the things that this kingdom for this time find important or critical or whatever, fascinating. And at the same time, I have this pull from my homeland, from the kingdom of heaven, that reminds me of what is good and what is right and what is important always. I think sometimes as believers, I know myself, I can be confused. I can get confused. Anybody else get confused? I mean, when that volume is turned up so loud for so long, oh my gosh, it gets confused. It's like psychological warfare, right? It just wears you down, and you start asking questions, and you start looking at things through the fog again. And thinking that somewhere in that mist of the kingdom of this earth, there's a reality that you're supposed to have allegiance to, but it's so confusing to figure out where it is and what's right. And at the same time, we're free of that. We get confused by that, but we're free of that because we have a citizenship in the kingdom of heaven, where the truths and the realities are really real. And they help us see through the mist. And they help us hear through the noise. In my family, we are divided. My parents, my wife, my brother's family, my sister's family, our in-laws, our extended family. When we have come together in this last little bit of this election season for any kind of family gathering and some manner of politics comes up, guess what happens? I see some of you, it happens in your family as well. Yeah, and it almost feels like that tug of war is happening right there in our family. And we're really passionate about it. I know my mom has been moved to tears. Just emotionally overwrought by the tension that has been elevated between the kingdoms in this season. Some in my family look to one candidate or the other for the right thing. These people represent victory. If this person wins, we're all going to die, right? Or if this person wins, they're all going to die. Like, it's death either way, right? But there's a reality that is true in the kingdom where our citizenship lies. That whoever wins, our hope is not in them. Can you hear that today? I know we're passionate people. And be passionate as citizens of this country. We should be passionate, educated, right? We should be clear. We should have investigated. We should be moved and convicted in our responsibility and our privilege to vote and have a voice. But neither one of the candidates is going to save you or me or this country. Neither one of these candidates is going to make anything greater than it already is. They're human beings. Psalm 20 gives us a glimpse into this world here, and I just want to run through it fast, talking about where our hope is found. If we are struggling, if we are disenfranchised, if we are oppressed, who do we look to? Psalm 20 says this, "May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. The Lord, may the name of God, the God of Jacob, protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all of your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. The Lord. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. The Lord does. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. And then it says this, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, the tools and the symbols of strength of this kingdom. Some trust in elephants and some trust in donkeys. You got that? I'll keep it slow. But we trust in the name of the Lord, Psalm 20 says. There is a reality that is more real than the reality of this kingdom. There is a strength and a power that we can hope in that is not fading, it is not fleeting, it is not weak. It does not turn its back on us. It does not disappoint us. Some trust in the strength of this kingdom. But those who call upon the name of the Lord, they trust in him. And that is you and that is me. We are citizens of that kingdom. And so the volume of fear spread around this kingdom, this country, should not be added to by the church. Should not be added to by the church. Some may say, again, if he or she wins, we're all doomed. If you follow Christ, where are you coming up with this? There is a truth and a reality about the kingdom in which you hold your citizenship that is more real than that, than chariots and horses and elephants and donkeys. And perfect love casts out fear anyways. If you put your hope in the strength and the power of this kingdom, then of course you will be afraid. Because there is not one kingdom that has stood on this earth that is not disappointed or frustrated or maimed or harmed or killed in the name of itself. But we don't live in that kingdom. We are sojourners here. We temporarily make our home here. And our role in this kingdom is to promote everyone else's good. Our role in this kingdom is independent of the government. Okay, we're going to cut to the chase here because there's soupish cooking. My goodness. Galatians chapter 5 says this, it is for freedom's sake that Christ has set us free, and therefore we should stand firm in our freedom, and we should not use our freedom to cover up evil, to engage in things that build ourselves up, but rather what? We are to live for everyone else's flourishing. We are to love others, right? Scripture tells us the laws of the kingdom that we have our citizenship in, we are to prefer others before ourselves. We're to promote other people's well-being before ourselves. We're to welcome the stranger. We're to feed the hungry, clothe the naked. The laws of the kingdom where our permanent citizenship lies require this from us. Stand firm then in your freedom, Galatians chapter 5, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. And then Paul talks about circumcision, which was a symbolic act of the old covenant that had come to represent bondage and slavery, to legalism, that had come to represent oppression, that had come to represent division in the people of the earth. Circumcision did. So Paul says, don't go back to that yoke of slavery, right? Because he knows that there's a new covenant. There's a new reality in our kingdom. There's a new way of relating to each other, and it's freedom. Stand firm. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. How can he say that? Because it's like you reject what Christ has done. You reject the gift of grace if you're depending upon this legal system. You catching this? And I don't think it's too far of a jump to say that sometimes when the volume's turned up, when everyone in our world is scattering around like the sky is falling, proclaiming, no, this system is better, proclaiming, no, this system is better, proclaiming that we must do this, or we must believe this, or we must act this way, that we can find ourselves once again in bondage and in slavery to ways of thinking, to ways of being that are important to the kingdom here, but in the big scheme of things, the kingdom of heaven, they don't spell freedom. They don't allow for the reign of God to rule in our lives. Because we're clinging to something else, we don't allow Christ to have his way. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You've fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. Now, again, this is true every moment of every day of all of our lives, but in this election season, the volume is turned up, right? Our attention, once again, is turned to hot-button issues and our mortality and the tax structure and what should people in the pornography industry be doing with their bodies, the things you need to vote on in California boggle my mind. I was looking, the booklet's like this thick. I couldn't even read it in a year. Well, I could in a year. Maybe 14 months. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. Neither one party or another, neither one ideology or another, neither one system nor another has any value compared to the kingdom of heaven, compared to the culture and the values of the kingdom of heaven. Neither one has any value. Listen to this sentence. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. What's the only thing that counts? Yeah, I'm grateful that you listened. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth that the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love? A little yeast works its way through the whole batch of dough. I'm confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who's throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty, Paul says. Brothers and sisters, if I'm still preaching about that circumcision, that way of doing things that we were stuck to, why am I still being persecuted? As for the agitators, the ones stirring up trouble and persecuting me, I wish they'd go all the way and just cut the whole thing off. Pretty gross language for Paul, pretty strong language for Paul. But if we reflect on that, in this kingdom, in this time, when the volume is turned up and the pain and the confusion, the hatred and the anger is so high, Paul would be saying, if that is where your trust is, I wish you'd just go all the way, devote yourself all the way to that, and just let it consume you. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. He continues to say again, but don't use your freedom to indulge in evil, to indulge in acts of the flesh, but serve one another humbly in love. That sounds a lot like faith being expressed in love. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. Do we not see this happening? Do we not watch the other human beings in our country, people born of the, you know, created by God in His image, tearing each other apart, not expressing their faith in love, not loving their neighbor as themselves? The acts of the flesh, well, they're obvious, right? He gives this list of sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, he says, as I've done before, that if you engage in these, if you give yourself to these, you won't inherit the kingdom of heaven. But then he says this, and I want to leave you with this. I don't know what time I'm supposed to be done, but it'll be soon. The last drop of blood will pass from my body here in a moment. He says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience.
I was going to say kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control.
You got it. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Well, no, not yet. The fruit of the Spirit, the governing reality of those who follow Christ, the clothing that the citizens of the kingdom of heaven wear, the building, Scripture tells us in Ephesians, that we're all formed into a home for the Holy Spirit. The result of the work of the Holy Spirit in our life are these things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And then he says this, against such things there is no law. Against such things there is no law. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth, they passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And then I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, beautifully dressed like a bride prepared for her husband. And I heard a voice from the throne saying, behold, now the dwelling place, now the place where God lives is with His people. He is our God and we are His people. And in this kingdom, where all things are being made new, there is no more death, there is no more crying, there is no more pain, there is no more oppression. There is no more rich or poor. There is no more male or female. There is no more white or black or brown or yellow or green or purple or whatever it is. There is no more reason for division. There is no more reason for political parties. Yay! And I heard a voice from the throne say, I am making all things new. And this is the dream of the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. This is the reality that is already and not yet, that we live in every moment of our lives. This is the reality. And our behavior as sojourners, as pilgrims in this kingdom, this country, should reflect the reality of the country, of the kingdom where our citizenship lies. Where our King, through His Spirit, works in us to produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against these things, there is no law anywhere, ever. No law against these things. And so whether one state, two state, red state, blue state, whether Republican or Democrat or Libertarian or Green, what does it matter to you? Except that you are educated. Except that you are clear-eyed. Except that you are focused on the issues and the positions and the stances that promote human flourishing, that promote all things being made new, that decrease division, that increase the quality of life, that remove oppressive systems and build systems that allow people to flourish, humans to flourish, where there is no more crying or tears or pain or sickness or death. This is our voice in this kingdom. We are sojourners here, but we must submit ourselves to the authorities in this land. This is the reality. We follow Jesus first. We follow Jesus always. We honor our leaders, but we always strive for the good of our neighbor. And our vote should represent that. And our voice should speak to that. And so, in the light of these things, in the light of these values, in the light of this culture of the kingdom of heaven, believers, followers of Jesus, the church can turn down the volume. We can turn down the hate. We can turn down the anger and the divisiveness. We certainly don't have to ever engage in it. But, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and as exiles, paroikos, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul, to live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they see your deeds and they glorify God on the day that He visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong or to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Do good and silence the foolish talk. Live as free people. Do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves here, even in this land. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. The only thing that counts is faith expressed in love. The only thing that counts is faith expressed in love. Now, I wish this message would be told in every church and on every street corner for the last 6, 9, 12 months, right? So that this land and the followers of Jesus in this land could be reminded of that, and we could have been focused on this whole time. I know many of us have been, but if you're like me, whew, there have been moments. There may have been a Facebook post here and there in my name. I didn't do it. Someone else may have written it. But we are paroikos. And our one thing that counts, the one thing that counts as paroikos, is that we would express our faith in love. Whatever else happens, our hope is not in one man, woman, party, or another. It's in the name of God. And I pray that as you vote, many of you have already, as you encourage others to vote, as you listen to the last clanging cymbals and loud sounds of this election cycle, that you will have peace. That you will look down at your feet and recognize the feet of a pilgrim. And that you'll sort of rise above the pain and the anger and the volume and the division. Because this is what Jesus has called us, shaped us, and sent us to do as he makes all things new. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us. God, we wish that you, when you called us to yourself, would have just snatched us up out of this place. We wish that we would have instantly been transported into an environment where there was no pain or no death, no aging, none of the things that vex us. And if we're being honest, Jesus, we don't really understand completely why that hasn't happened yet. But when we encounter your word, not just for the people then, but for us now, when we encounter your word, you tell us how we are to live in this moment, in this season, and in this kingdom. So God, I pray for myself that I will have patience. I pray for my friends here that they will have the same. I pray, God, even more than patience, that we will have an awareness all the time, ever-present awareness of the kingdom where our citizenship lies, the kingdom that is very present here and now, the kingdom that your word tells us that we, the church, are the capital of, the center of, where your rule and your reign and your power comes forth into our community. Until that day, when you have finally made all things new, we will cling to this hope that when we call upon your name, you are faithful to us. And until that day when all things are made new, in the meantime, we will seek to love our neighbor as ourself. We will try, Lord Jesus, with your help. We pray for your help to maintain our focus on expressing our faith in you through our love for others. May this be the single greatest issue that we are concerned with as we wrap up this election season and head into whatever's next. Fill us with resolve. Equip us with your spirit. There is no law against faith expressed in love. We celebrate that today in the name of Jesus. Amen.